This cell was an old guardroom. It was damp and had two creaking bunks.
"On the hall," said Tonka, "I think it was better when we were locked up by the enemy."
"There's a grill in the ceiling," said Shufti.
"Not big enough to climb through," said Polly.
"No, but we can hang ourselves before they do."
"I'm told it's a very painful way to die," said Polly.
"Who by?"
said Tonka. Occasionally the sounds of battle filtered through the narrow window. Mostly it was yells. Often it was screams. Fun was being had. Igorina sat staring at her hands.
"What's wrong with these?" she said. "Didn't I do a good job on that arm? But no, they're afraid I might touch their privates."
"Perhaps you could have promised to operate only on officers," said Tonka.
No one laughed, and probably no one would have bothered to run for it if the door had swung open. It was a proud and noble thing to escape from the enemy, but if you were escaping from your own side, where would you escape to? On one of the bunks, Wazza slept like a hibernating bear. You had to watch her for some time to see her breathe.
"What can they do to us?" said Shufti nervously. "You know, really do to us."
"We were wearing men's clothes," said Polly.
"But that's only a beating."
"Oh, they'll find some other stuff, believe you me," said Tonka. "Besides, who knows what here?"
"But we got them out of prison, our side."
Polly sighed.
"That's why, Shufti. No one wants to know that a bunch of girls dressed up as soldiers and broke into a big fort and let out half an army. Everyone knows females can't do that. Neither side wants us here, understand?"
"On a battlefield like this, who'll worry about a few more bodies?" said Tonka.
"Don't say that. Lieutenant Blau spoke up for us," said Shufti.
"What, Daphne?" said Tonka.
"Ha! Just another body. They probably locked him up somewhere, just like us."
There was a distant cheering which went on for some time.
"Sounds like they've got the building," said Polly.
"Hooray for us,"
said Tonka, and spat. After a while, a small hatch was opened in the door and a silent man handed through a big can of scubbo and a tray of horse bread. It wasn't bad scubbo, or at least not bad scubbo by the standards of bad scubbo. There was some discussion about whether being fed meant you weren't going to be executed until someone pointed out the tradition of the last hearty meal. Igorina gave it as her professional opinion that the stew was not only hearty, but lungy and livery too. But at least it was hot. A couple of hours later, a can of saloop was handed through, with some mugs. This time the guard winked. An hour after that, the door was unlocked. A young man in a major's uniform stepped inside.
"Oh well, let's go on as we started," Polly thought.
She leapt to her feet.
"Squad, ten hut!"
With reasonable speed, the squad at least managed to stand up straight and in a line. The major acknowledged her by tapping the peak of his cap with a stick. It was definitely thinner than an inch.
"Stand easy, our corporal, isn't it?" he said.
"Yes, sir." That sounded promising.
"I'm Major Clogston of the Provost's Office," said the major, "and I'd like you to tell me all about it. About everything. I will make notes, if you don't mind."
"What's all this about?" said Tonka.
"Ah, you'd be Private Holter," said Clogston. "I've already spoken at length to Lieutenant Blowers."
He turned, nodded at the guard hovering in the doorway, and shut the door. He also closed the hatch.
"You are going to be tried," he said, sitting down on the spare bunk. "The politicos want you to be tried by a full Nugganite court, but that'd be tricky here, and no one wants this to go on for any longer than it has to. Besides, there have been an unusual event. Someone has sent a communique to General Frock, asking about you all by name, at least," he added, "by your surnames."
"Was that Lord Rust, sir?"
"No, it was someone called William de Word. I don't know if you've run across his newspaper thing. We're wondering how he knew you were captured."
"Well, we didn't tell him," said Polly.
"It makes things a little tricky," said Clogston.
"Although, from your point of view, a lot more hopeful. There are those members of the army who are, let us say, considering the future of Borogravia. That is, they would like there to be one. My job is to present your case to the tribunal."
"Is that a court-martial?" said Polly.
"No, they're not that stupid. Calling it a court-martial would indicate that they accept that you are soldiers."
"You did," said Shufti.
"De facto is not de jure," said Clogston. "Now, as I said, tell me your story, Miss Perks."
"That's Corporal, thank you. I apologise for the lapse. Now, go on."
Clogston opened his bag and produced a pair of half-moon spectacles, which he put on, and took out a pencil and something white and square.